this sermon title is called Watch Your Words. Because there's a lot of us that talk without even knowing what we're saying.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you this morning. We give you the thanks and we give you the honor. We give you the praise. And Lord, there's nothing too difficult for you. And so we trust you this morning for the outcome in everything. In Jesus' name, bless your word this morning and help us, God, to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's been working on us. And that old song, I think the Hoppers used to sing it, God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him a week to make the sun and the stars. Right? Did I get it right? Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me. Is he working on you? All right, good. He's going to get some chisel out today, and he's going to work on us. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke, the physician, he was a doctor, traveled with the apostles, preaching the word of God, and Luke wrote this account of the life of Jesus. And here we are in Luke chapter 9. Luke recalls this account in verse 28. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he, Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear you him. Now, many of us have been around the church for any length of time. We know this story as the Mount of what? Transfiguration. We've heard this term where Jesus got changed. Here he was in the human form, and he's here upon this mountain, and all of a sudden, the glory of God shows up. He's talking with Moses, who had been gone for a long time, and Elijah, who had been gone for a long time, they show up, and they're talking with Jesus. His countenance is white as snow, his clothing white, and then Peter stands up and opens his mouth. Now, this account is also found in Mark chapter 9. It's also found in Matthew chapter 17. And the account is more detailed, I think, in Luke's account of this. But the key verse also that I want to look at here is in verse 33. And as I just said, it came to pass as they departed, Peter says, Jesus, it's good for us to be here and to make three tents, one for each of you, not knowing what he said. Now, I want to talk about this verse because that's also referenced in Mark chapter 9 in that account. And I think I gave that one to you too, didn't I, Rick? Yep. For he wist not, this is the King James Version, he wist not what to say. Now let me give you my version of those two scriptures. Basically, the translation of these verses is, he didn't know what to say or even realized what he was saying. Peter opened his mouth. Okay? How many of you associate with Peter? You know, this sermon title is called Watch Your Words. Because there's a lot of us that talk without even knowing what we're saying. The first thing that comes, pops out of our mouths is ba 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 ba. And we have a bad habit of opening our mouths when we ought not to be opening our mouths. And how do I know that Peter had an issue here? Because the very first thing that happens after Peter stands up and just opens his mouth, here there is a voice from heaven and says, be quiet, listen to what Jesus is saying. Listen to him, not listen to what you're saying. So oftentimes we open our mouths. How many of us have a problem opening our mouths when we shouldn't? The rest of you, some of you won't admit to it. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we got one. We got another one here. Okay, how many of you have done it at least one time? All right. Then we're guilty, right? We're guilty. Because we want to get the last word in, so to speak. Or sometimes we just open our mouths to talk. You know, this reminds me, last week when we had Jax and we're driving down the road, everything's quiet, and next thing that we hear is this. Just for 10 minutes he's doing this. Why? Because he wants to hear himself talk. And I think sometimes this is the way we are. We just talk when we shouldn't be talking. He didn't even know what he was saying is what that means. He's just talking. Now, Peter was known before on many occasions of speaking before thinking. Oh, we got one hand back there. Yes. Okay. Not only here, but I want to look at a couple other occasions of this. This is, turn with me over to the book of John, chapter 13. And in John, chapter 13, here we have a story, and this starts in verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. Jesus pours water and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he was girded with. He's doing a foot washing for his disciples. Then comes Peter. And Peter says to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus said to him, what I do, you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Did Peter open his big mouth again? You see, how many of us talk before we think? We got an honest young man up here. I love it. You sit there every Sunday, okay? It'll be all right. The rest of you pay attention over here, okay? We open our mouths before we think. And this is exactly what Peter shows up here. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. All of a sudden, now that means something to Peter. And he says, well, then not only wash my feet, but my hands and my head. Just wash it all. Why? Because he opened his mouth before even thinking or seeing what was about to happen to him. Matthew chapter 26. And I love this because there's a lot of us that we do associate with Peter. And this man, Peter, was a rough character. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all of you will be offended of me this night. He's in the garden right before his crucifixion. It is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before into Galilee. Peter answers. Who's the first one to open his mouth again? Peter said, though all men should be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, tonight, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter's not satisfied with that answer. What does he say? Though I should die with you, yet I will never deny you. Likewise said all the disciples. He opens his mouth again. What does Peter do? We know the story. He denies him three times. Okay? So again, we see constantly the mouth of Peter just shooting off. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught of fish. You're going to catch a bunch. And Simon answered him saying, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Again, he opens his mouth based on not thinking. Who's he talking to? Would you say that to Jesus? Let me ask you this. If you're out in my boat with me, Levi, okay, and we hear a voice from heaven that says, go on the right side of the boat and you're going to catch the biggest fish you've ever caught in your life. Do you think we would say, nah? That can't be true because we've never caught anything over here. So forget it, Caleb. Caleb's been with me on the boat. By the way, he outfished me too. Caleb, if the Lord, we hear that voice, what are you going to say? Hey, Pastor, let's get out of here. Let's go down the other side of the lake, right? What are you going to say? I want it. Not Peter. Peter's like, man, we've been doing this all night and never caught a thing. No, but whatever you say, I'll do it. You know what? Peter was known for that and his big mouth. But I want to give God praise, though, that Peter didn't stay in that condition. But God really saved him and reconditioned his mouth. And I think that a lot of us need a reconditioning of our mouths. Because our mouths get us in trouble. And God is speaking to us today that we ought to watch our words. Now, we've heard sermons about this in the past. But God is speaking to us specifically this year, and He is trying to change His people. Because if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, call upon me, then I will hear from heaven and I'll change the land. How many of us want a change in our land? I mean, things are not good right now. But if we want a change in our land, then it must start with us. It must start with God reconditioning us. We've learned about humility. We've learned about trusting God. And now God is speaking specifically to us, though we have heard it in the past, and this is not the first time that we have heard this, that God is saying, when will you listen? When will my people listen? Peter's life was changed. And we can see that if you jump over with me to his letters there in 1 Peter. We're going to see a change in this man. 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's interesting now that this same man writes this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Did you see that? This is coming from a man that had a big mouth and understood from years gone by that his mouth got him in a lot of trouble. And now he has been reconditioned and God has dealt with his life. And now he says, if you're going to speak, you need to speak as the mouthpiece of God. So you have to ask yourself the question, in all of your speaking in your life, would you consider that you are the mouthpiece of God? Yeah, probably not, right? And some of the stuff that comes out of our mouths, we know that that's not godly stuff that's coming out. We know that when we're yelling at somebody because we don't like what they did, is that the mouthpiece of God? Or we're talking about somebody, or we're cussing somebody, or we're using our mouth for all kinds of various things. Peter says, listen, I have been there and done that, but now if I speak, I want to be the mouthpiece of God. And this is the heart of Peter. Right now, after being reconditioned. Go over to 2 Peter, just the next book over. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here, Peter recognizes what he has been, and he's telling his readers. And I love this because he says, verse 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you this power and this coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He was there, Tucker, when this transfiguration happened. He saw it. And so he said to the people he was writing to, we're not bringing you stuff that's stories. We're not bringing you stuff that's theory. We're bringing you stuff that we've actually seen. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This voice that said, hear him, hear what he is saying, and learn to keep my mouth shut. Until God wants to use this mouth. I think that many of us need to learn when to speak and when not to speak. And I think this is the heart of God that God is bringing to us today. Because many of us speak out of turn and we use our mouths for things that ought not to be used for. And again, how many of us going through life going and just running that mouth constantly when God says, you do not have to. It's getting kind of quiet in here. Peter wasn't the only one who's ever spoken out of turn, even when it comes to people in the Word of God. And it's quite interesting to me as turn back over into the book of James. Now, the book of James is a very hard-hitting book. And it hits us right between the eyes where we need to be hit. And I want to read these verses. And my guess is that James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote this book, God had dealt with him on many things. And therefore, he writes it to the church and writes it to us. Because you have to remember, James, the half-brother of Jesus, and his siblings most likely had an issue believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Come on now. How many of us that we grew up with our brothers and sisters would believe that they were the Messiah? Right? Pastor Aaron, you got a lot of brothers and sisters, right? How many?
Eight.
Okay. And so we know them, you know, and we've grown up with them. And so there was most likely, you know, we're not sure about this, right? And then it doesn't help whenever his mother and brethren come and he's teaching and he says what, Sheila? They say, your mother and your brethren are outside. They're waiting to talk to you. And he turns around and says, these who serve me are my mother and my brethren. Can you imagine what the brothers are thinking here? Who's he think he is? What? He's not even acknowledging us as his family. But God had to do a work after the resurrection. I believe James saw the light. And James said he is the Messiah. And so in his writing here in chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Lay apart all your filthiness, your superfluity, and your naughtiness. Receive the meekness, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I believe that God dealt with probably James on this issue as well. Be swift to what? Be swift to hear and slow to what? I think we've got it backwards. We're swift to speak and slow to hear. But the Word of God is very clear to each and every one of us. We are to be swift to listen first, then speak. Quick to hear, that means be a better listener than a speaker. And I'll be the first one to admit that, you know, and I'm getting better and I praise God for it, but when I was younger, especially in the Word of God, somebody would come to me and, or I would hear an issue. It didn't matter who you were. I would just rush to you and say, well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse such and such says this. Oh, what's your problem? Yeah. John chapter 2, verse 3. Oh, what's your problem? Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'd give you a verse. Is that being swift to hear? How many of us do that? We want to just jump right on in and help somebody with our words. Just because you have the answer doesn't mean that it's your turn to speak. But a lot of us think it is. I have the answer. Let me enlighten you. And we think that's our life's calling, to enlighten others with our voices. And many times when it's not the timing, all that person hears is or on Charlie Brown, wah-wah, 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 wah-wah. Slow to speak, slow to get angry, and slow to be offended. Now listen very close. Many times we become a Peter mouth. I want you to coin that phrase. You ready? A Peter mouth. How many of us have Peter mouths? Thank you. Can I get a witness? A second one somewhere? All right. Thank you. We let our mouths start rambling before we even think about what is happening in our lives. Now, if you're a truck driver, it's called a Peterbilt truck. I want you to think Peter mouth. Do you have a Peter mouth? Do you spout off before thinking? Do you spout off before listening? And sometimes we're going, yeah, so-and-so does it. Boy, they need to be here and listen to this message. No, God brought you here to listen to this message. We're just talking and don't even realize what we're saying or why we're saying it. What does God say? Here it is. He wants you to slow your mouth down. He wants us to slow our mouths down. We don't have to talk all the time. We don't. It's really important that we get a hold of this. Proverbs chapter 10. And I know when we talk about these kinds of things that it gets uncomfortable. But God is saying to us, it's time for change. It's time for God to change us. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Do you know what that means? The more you run your mouth, the more you have the opportunity to sin. Do you ever think about that? But he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So pay attention here in the multitude of words. We do not have to talk as much as we talk. And as much as we let our mouths roam. So pay particular attention to these. And Solomon also has something to say about this. Because I think Solomon may have had some experience with this as well. I want you to go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now sometimes Ecclesiastes is a little bit hard to follow, but I think this is pretty well understood. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, a lot of people come to the house of God ready to talk. Instead of ready to listen. Ready to listen to what God is saying. All we want to do is talk. And we want to tell God everything, tell Him talk, instead of listening. We want to talk to others, talk, instead of listening to God when you come to the house of God. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. How many of you ever read that verse before? How many of you ever heard that verse before? You all should be lifting your hands. You just heard it. Okay? And then he continues on in verse 4. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. You know, here's another issue that comes up. We get into an emotional moment or whatever, and you're reading through the Word of God, or you're on a sermon Sunday morning, and the Lord's convicting you, and you just say, yes, God, I'm going to do that, and then we forget all about it as life goes on. And we kind of go back to the old normal way. But when you have made a vow unto the Lord in the house of God, or in your time with God, and you're saying, God, you know what? You've convicted me of this. I'm going to change. Solomon says, when you make that vow unto the Lord, keep it. If you don't plan on keeping it, you don't plan on changing, don't say it to God. This is what Solomon is getting at here. Now, I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes along the way and fall back, but we should always remember what we have vowed unto God and continue to come back and continue to say, God, I'm working. I'm changing. You're changing me. You know, you're working on me. And keep moving in that direction of what you vowed to God. But so many times, Christians will make statements to God and make vows to God and say, I'm going to do this, and then never do it. Better is that thou shouldst not vow the vow than that you should vow it and not pay. Verse 5. Verse 6. Don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. I didn't really mean that. Wherefore should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are many diverse vanities, but fear God. So in other words, pay attention to the words that you're speaking. Especially when it comes to God and when it comes to what you are telling God your life is going to be. And I know God took me to task on this, especially, you know, when I was younger and I committed to God, I said, I will be your servant. I will do the ministry, be servanthood with you. And then I decide, well, God's not working on my behalf. It's not going the way I want to. So I think I'll just go become an airline pilot. And God took me to task on that. And thank God for His mercy. Then God says, what have I called you to do and what did you vow? And so here I am and speaking God's word, and God is very, very clear here. Now I'm going to take a quote, and I normally don't do this, but Abraham Lincoln, how many of you have heard of that guy before? Abraham Lincoln had a quote, and a lot of people think that it came from him, but I think it was based on what Solomon just said here in Ecclesiastes. Abraham Lincoln said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Did you guys get that? We have to remember, we don't have to talk. We don't have to, because oftentimes that talking will get us in more trouble than we really need to be in. And so I think the Lord is speaking to us here. We have to remember the whole counsel of God on this. And we hear it from Jesus over in the book of Matthew. And I want you to run over there with me in Matthew chapter 12. We've heard this before, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, he's speaking to the Pharisees, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you heard that one before? A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So now we have to ask ourselves, what words are we using? Are we using words to actually bring condemning stuff? Are we using words to be justified? And I think for the whole, we use more words than we ought to. And the scripture is clear that we ought to be men and women of few words. Now, it is in all of our marriage counseling classes that Laura and I have sat through and have taught, it is very well known fact. And this is not plotting one against another, but we understand that out of men and women, women always speak more words than men. That's a proven fact. I'm not trying to say one's better than another, but what happens is in the course of marriage, and this is some of the teaching that we've done, that a lady generally will have, throughout the course of a day, I think they said somewhere around 20,000 words. Okay? And a man usually about half of that, maybe about 10,000, 8,000 in some cases. So lots of times, you know, during the course of the day, a lady has her 20,000 words, man has 10,000. At work, he uses them all. And then he comes home, she's still got 10,000 left, right? And she wants to talk to him. And she's like, why aren't you talking to me, right? Kind of a thing. And so there's issues. And so men have to learn that as well. But no matter how many words that we speak, we have to make sure that those words are good words. And that those words are not idle words. And that those words are not words that we ought not to be speaking. Because sometimes we just don't need to talk. Now, I always tell men, that doesn't mean you don't talk at all. Okay? Because you need to be able to talk, to communicate. Especially with wives and in relationships kind of a thing. And so it's important that we get a hold of this, that what God is saying here is that the words that we speak have to be chosen words. And chosen words, not going brrrr, just speak to speak. But speaking words that are life, speaking words that are godly, speaking words that are righteous, then you can know what those words are. If we're going to speak those words and make those words count, we have to know what they are. For an example, you know, I'm so blessed that you came to church today. I really enjoy seeing you every Sunday morning, and I thank God that He's given you another day to come and praise God. How does that make you feel?
Better?
Can I do better than that? But it makes her feel good. Tucker, I wish you'd do something about your hair. Because I don't really like it.
It's all right.
Actually, I wish I had hair like that.
Tell me you're all jealous.
But that's not... See, if you're going to... What's the old saying that we have heard from our parents? If you can't say something good, don't say it at all. Do you know that's a scriptural thing? Coming out of Proverbs and Solomon. You don't have to speak words. You don't have to be saying that because oftentimes they are devastating to other individuals. Well, someone needs to tell him. No. Listen, words are so important. And I want to end with this scripture. And you know, this scripture, the very first time that I really heard it, I mean, of course, I had gone over these scriptures before, but Miss Joyce Hasselbacher. This was, I think, one of Miss Joyce's favorite ones, and she shared it in, I think, a couple of her poems. But in Proverbs chapter 25, and it really stuck with me, and lots of times we read over scriptures and we don't really know what they mean. But listen to the scripture, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, how many of you, see, we don't quite understand that. But in Solomon's day, what was decorating the walls were pictures that were made out of metal. Okay? And they were put on their walls, and apples of gold, there would be golden apples that would be placed in this picture. And then on the wall, this silver-plated thing on the wall that was just absolutely gorgeous. And he referred to it, a word that is fitly spoken is just like that beautiful picture. But a word that is not fitly spoken is like a piece of garbage that's laying on the ground. There are words that we can speak at the right time. And learning when to speak and when not to speak. And God's teaching me that. Because just because, and I've taught this to the training center, just because you know something doesn't mean it's time for you to speak it. And Jesus kind of put it this way. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's a right time and a wrong time to bring forth a word. And a word that is the right time when it fits in just at that point. How many of you have had somebody say something to you just at the right time that it changed things for you? Yeah, that's a word that is fitly spoken. And the speaker needs to decide what to speak and when to speak. And sometimes I think in our zeal, we overspeak when we don't need to. And then there's some that say, well, somebody has to say something. It must be me. And we don't need to speak. Sometimes in times of tragedy and sometimes in times of sorrow, some maybe well-intentioned folks may just want to just talk, and you try to make everything better when sometimes you don't need to do that. You just need to be there. And you just need the love. So God is asking us to watch our words. Because words are important. And that this whole phrase, let's not be a Peter mouth, you know, where we just spout off when we don't need to. Ask God to change that in you. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for bringing this word to us. And Lord, I'm asking for your conviction just to be steady and secure. And Lord, we've been studying this, that whom the Lord loves, He does chasten. He does discipline. And so, Lord, help us all, because we've all messed up in this area. Help us to keep our mouths and to learn when to speak and when not to. And Father, we know that this is your heart and this is your desire. But Lord, also give us the wisdom to know when to speak the words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And Lord, help us to be that in the world that we live in today. And change us. Change us for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.